Accession number 28669, Mr. John Hayward, Reel 4. Now, we're talking about these positions, the B Company positions, covering the Bailey Bridge across the Imgine. And you said there's two types. There's a machine gun post and there's the chap on his
own. Well, just dug in on the top, yeah.
Now, what was it like when you were on the machine gun positions?
Well, you just sat there and you just had to do your guard duty. If nobody come through, or if somebody come through, you'd be ready. But you had a password every night. A different password come through every night into the battalions. And if anybody come through there and didn't know the password, then you'd say it again. And if they didn't give you the right answer, you was allowed to shoot. But we never had that trouble.
Now, what about the chap on the bridge itself, walking up and down? What
scary.
Did you do that?
We didn't over there a long while, 6 months, weren't we?
So what was it like on the bridge?
Scary, because you'd hear the water gushing underneath you. And it wasn't so bad when you knew the lads went there, but you were out of sight of them near enough when you walked the bridge. You were out of sight of them and in the dark, and you just think, oh, I hope nobody don't come down tonight while I'm up there. And if you heard something, you scurry back quick. Night time was a bit scary. Got raided one night, and
now tell me about that.
But they
who raided you?
We don't know who they were, but they got in the camp one night, and they let a couple of mines off and done some damage to the cells. There wasn't much of them left.
So tell me what happened exactly. What do you remember of it? What were you doing?
Sleep in the tent, because we were in tents, and when you think like we were. Down in sub-zero, okay, the temperatures had dropped from anything from 30.
I'll come back to sticking to this attack on the camp. Yeah. So you were actually asleep when it happened?
We were asleep, yeah.
So you just woke up next morning? And
well, it wasn't just next morning, the stuff what come down on the tents, you see. And bits and pieces, but that was all there was to it. They were scared off and run back out, you see, but they went into a minefield, because you were mined. Everywhere were mined in the hills, all around there was very heavily mined. You got these big mines which they got wires running from a good distance, pegged down. And if you tripped the wire, then these used to jump out the ground and woof, cut you to shreds.
And that's what happened to these?
That, yeah, I don't know whether it was one or two or what, but I think they were after the armoury that night.
But they failed.
They failed.
Now, let's have a look at the conditions of service that you were living under. Now, were you in tents?
Tent.
Tell me what was a tent like? How many were in you? What was it?
About a dozen of you in a tent. And one Korean. Because you kept a Korean with you, because he knew where. And he was always there, Korean Army, one bloke. In case you run across any, he could interpret.
I'll come back to him. So what was this tent like? How big was it? How was it laid out? What pattern of tent?
You got beds either side, virtually the same.
Normal beds or camp beds?
No, they were just a camp bed. You know these what stroud like that type of thing, on legs type of thing. But you were tucked in the clothes, you never really took them off. It was so cold, you know.
Was there any heating in the tent?
Yeah, you were laid 5 gallons of diesel a day. But that didn't last long because you got these burners.
What would you burn that in?
In like a little stove in the middle.
And did that give off fumes?
Don't know. It never seemed to.
Was there any ventilation for it?
You didn't need no ventilation out there. The winds. Because when you think you're Siberia, a lot of people don't realise where Korea is and the winds are atrocious. When you went outside, you'd got what they call, you know, they call them parkas here now, don't they? That's where it came from, Korea, I don't know whether you know. And you got like a wire in your helmet, and all you used to do was cut it so you could just see through about an inch, and you had to have that on all the time. If you held any steel, you couldn't let it go.
It's that cold?
That cold. Anything, 30 down. And cold, I mean cold. And you should have 3 pair of trousers on.
So what would you wear from under? Basically, from under.
Basically, you got like all in the old, all in one, like the old suits. You know, you got a string vest. I reckon that were good. Don't know where it were, itchy thing. And then you've got different layers of clothes. Your trousers, you've got, like you say, you've got your long johns on. Then you've got another pair of trousers on. And then you've got a waterproof to keep the wind more out than the wet, to keep the cold out from that. And then your parka went over, and you've got a belt which used to come from your tail under your front and clip up on there, so it was all, it couldn't blow up. And that was about it.
And you were still cold?
Yeah, you never got warm out there. Never got warm.
Yeah, so that's the what about the latrines? What latrine?
Latrine was another tent. And in that tent, you got a makeshift pole you sat on. That was your gazunda.
And that was it for everything?
That was it. Yeah. But you never went much. You never went much because you wouldn't go out in the night because you'd freeze to death.
Were the latrines unpleasant places? I mean, were they smelly or was it too cold?
It wouldn't be, no, yeah. You wouldn't get no smell. You never had a shower, never had.
No. I was going to ask, what about washing facilities?
Washing, you hardly washed because you never sweat. There were no sweat or nothing. And you hardly ever washed. Had a job to even shave and that in it.
Were you expected to wash and shave? Or?
You expected to have a shave lot and keep tidy yourself, keep clear of yourself. You hadn't got much of them. There were no such thing as washing. No, and you just kept your kit on.
So, but you had to shave?
Yeah.
Or tried to?
Yeah, yeah, do your best.
Now, what about, were there any problems with lice, you know, or fleas? I'm thinking about 8 men in the tent not washing much. You know,
I don't think you would, you see, because it was so cold, wasn't it?
All this is not relevant, really. Yeah, I see what you mean.
No,
no. Now, so what about the food? What food arrangements were the food?
Food, we got an old tin shack down the bottom, which the old cook used to try and get going as best he could. You could get a hot meal, but the thing is, we'd only got like these. Have you seen the mess cans? That's all you got. Well, when you think, what is a mess can made of? It was cold before you got to the grub. And so you'd never had a terrific amount of hot food. If you didn't eat it quick while you were there.
Now, what sort of food were you getting? I mean, is it any fresh food or is it all tinned? What are you getting?
Yeah, mostly tinned stuff. Mostly tinned stuff.
Now, British tinned food or American?
No, funny enough, it was Australian. They were the nearest to us, you see. We were supplied virtually. All it was like in Japan. Most of the food was coming from Australia.
Now, what do you get? What sort of tinned food?
Well, you get peaches and things if you want, something like that. But the other was a lot of corned beef and different foods like that. There was one good thing we did get, I don't know where it was made, I've never seen or heard of it since, was soup. And it was a can, like a normal can of beans. In the middle was like a hole, and it got this special stuff in it, and you lit it from off your webbing on your belt, and it would fizz, and it would hot your soup up in the can. And that was about the only good thing, and that you had to keep inside your jacket. If you didn't keep it inside, it was frozen if you kept it outside, and it wouldn't hot enough. So you keep it in your pockets or somewhere.
What about tea and things like that? I mean, would you get...
You get a cup of tea and things occasionally, yeah. Not a lot.
Did you get enough food?
I think you did. We'd got a lot of hardtack biscuits and
now
things
like
that.
What are the hardtack biscuits like? I mean...
Very nourishing. Very nourishing. Very hard, as they say, like hardtack biscuit. Very hard, but they got a lot of goodness. I don't know what they were.
Are these the ones that look like dog biscuits? I mean,
no, they look like more... square ones they were, about like that.
About
square and quite thick ones they were.
Easy to eat?
Not really, but you got through them. But we had got a naffy. We could get over to the main camp, and that you could
that's
go and get.
That's the battalion main
That's the battalion where the battalion was.
Now, what did that naffy offer you?
They offered food and everything, and you could get a beer and bits like that, which was nice.
How often could you get there? Did every time you weren't on duty, or just sometimes?
No, we was virtually on guard every other night. You only had one night in bed, you might say. You didn't get no, because there weren't many of us even there, like, to do all the duties you got to do.
Now, right, that you've just led me into it. What was a typical day like, from when you woke up in the morning to when you went to bed? What would a typical day for you be like when you were?
What would it be? Is you'd be sorting all your guns and weaponry type of thing in case you've got to go out on there on different, because we didn't always guard just the engine on its own. Sometimes you were out on patrol.
I'll come back to that. So you check all your weapons and things?
Yeah, you check everything, Kate.
Now, what weapons were you checking? What
well, just your rifle, or if you got the machine gun and that. They all went virtually in the armoury at night. You didn't keep them with you. The armoury had guards on that all night, and flares and everything, to trip flares.
So unless you were on guard, your personal weapon...
We were the only ones what were out.
But you would get your own weapon back, your number?
Yeah, you get your own weapon.
You weren't just given a rifle?
No. The proper ones, yeah.
So you'd check them when you got them?
Yeah.
That's morning. What's next?
You may be... A lot of the time, in the daytime, we were, I should say, one of the first. We had to carry... They were laying... In the DMARC zone, you have heard of the DMARC zone, we were one of the first lot to start laying, to getting wire down into the DMARC zone. They got permission between the north and the south to put a wire fence up, because we didn't know which were air side and they didn't know which were their side. So we had to start laying from air end. I don't know where the others had started, we never seen them, but we had to start carrying. The sappers had to go out in front of us and blow all mines what were in their way and lay tapes down. And we had to carry bales of wire and all these big steel pickets down to the valley, because no traffic was allowed into it. And we had to carry everything maybe 3 or 4 miles before we got down to where we had got to be. The sappers were clearing the mines in front of us.
And how did you erect the fence?
We didn't erect it. We had to get all the materials, the sappers and things, and engineers did the fencing. It was bad enough having to carry it, let alone lay it.
So that's another duty you might be on. What else might you be doing during the day?
Not a lot sometimes. We didn't have a lot because you hadn't got much time, really, when you come back off of them days, and then you're on duty at night, and then... trying to kip or anything. Not a terrific amount to do.
How did you get on with your the other lads first? I mean,
with the same lads, we're okay. We're okay. We spent Christmas there, which was.
Were you getting close friends with them? I mean, how close were you getting to the ones you've been with, and surely you would be knowing some other ones by now.
You knowed a few, but you didn't know many. You got your tent, there was another tent, and your platoon were all in one tent. You just stuck.
And
your platoon
were all the ones who'd come from the Welsh, were they?
No, they were from down the other end. Their platoon, yeah, what came from the Welsh battalion, the same one as I'd trained with in the Northampton.
So by now, they were your friends?
They were mates, yeah.
Now, what about the NCOs? What do you think of the NCOs you got?
Some of them weren't all that good.
Why not? What made them?
Well, you know, they thought the sale was it and that, but they didn't want to bother a lot, I don't think, with us type of people. As long as you did what you'd got to do, kept out the way, and that was your duties.
And how about the officers in action? You know, well, not action, but in this slightly dodgy situation.
Yeah.
How were they behaving?
I think... More or less, when you're out there, I think everybody, even the officers and sergeants and everybody else, knew they'd got to rely on you and you'd got to rely on them. And I think it was a different atmosphere, totally different atmosphere, because you ain't no good without them and they ain't no good without you.
Now, what about the patrols? Take me through a typical patrol. Where would you be patrolling?
Well, you'd be patrolling down near the border. You weren't laid actually in the DMARC zone, but you'd be patrolling... Down an area, you were given ordnance number, you know.
Would these be daytime patrols?
Night time.
So, take me through a typical night patrol. How many of you? What would you be doing?
Well, there'd be just a whole platoon on the move. So you'd have one machine gun, one, and the rest of you would be just rifles.
What formation?
You had to keep one behind the other.
Single file.
Single file, yeah. You wouldn't be able to spread eight because you'd hit mines.
And what was the purpose of the patrol?
It's to see you want anyone want coming through. Sometimes you've got a dog handler with you. They'd got Alsatians and would pick anybody up faster than we could hear them, like them dogs could.
And how far would you go? What would you do on them?
Oh, maybe only about 2 miles. Wouldn't go no farther than that.
2 miles out?
Yeah, two miles back, yeah.
And how long would this all take?
Well, you'd move on and then you'd stop and listen around and carry on if nothing was about. Wouldn't take you that long.
Did you ever encounter or see or detect signs of the Chinese or the North Koreans?
No, never did.
So nothing particular?
You could see them, like, when you're up near the top, like in the daytime, glasses.
On the night patrol.
No. I think it virtually, like I say, had calmed down.
Were there any signs of fighting at all? Or
action?
Action, yeah. Do you know what I mean? The illegal acts by either side?
No.
So the truce was
holding?
I think
the truce was holding, yeah. The truce held, you see. And that was what was all about.
Now, what else might... So you were there a long time.
Well, we had like 6 months.
So you've not been there that long?
No, I had 6 months career.
So before Christmas or any incidents you remember, just to give us an idea of it?
No, one chap, I don't know whether he committed suicide or what in their company.
Now,
we had to guard him all over Christmas.
So
he lost one lad.
What had happened to him? What did he
do? I don't know. We were left in camp and somebody, whether they were playing with a revolver or... I don't know what happened. I wouldn't like to say.
He was shot in some way.
He was shot, yeah.
And you thought, most people thought it was suicide, did they?
Well, we think it was, maybe. Maybe he had something from home. Yeah, it could have been anything. But I don't know, we had to guard him over Christmas.
The body?
Not nice, the body, yeah.
Now, what about contact with home? Letters, parcels?
Yeah, you used to write a regular lot, you could.
And what would you write? And what was there much to write to you?
No, there wasn't. No, just missing them so much and hoping they were well. And I did send a tea set home to my mother, I've got now, which was lovely. The Naffy used to have sets, like they'd have one cup, one saucer, things like that. You could choose a design, whatever, and they would send back and get it all done and send home for you.
And what would they write to you? What would your mum write to you about it? Would she write regularly?
Yeah, pretty regular to me, yeah.
Anybody else write?
My sisters and that had always put a bit in as well, you know.
What would they be writing about? Just home or...
Just home, what were going on and something had happened and somebody had a baby or something like that or what. And
Were letters important to you?
It was nice to know that you were still in the land of something, like when you're out there, you're completely lost, like so far away.
Did they send you any parcels out?
No. I don't know whether some of them did, but I told them I was all right. Didn't need anything.
Anything else happening? Well, let's look at Christmas, because what celebrations were organised for Christmas for you, if any?
Trying to cook a turkey. That was the worst thing out that way.
Tell us that story.
It didn't need to be frozen, did it? We were 30 below. It was trying to get the damn thing cooked. The wind was blowing, and it even in the old place we'd got wasn't very good for cooking.
And did you manage it?
Yeah, they managed it about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I think. I don't know how much.
And any other celebration? Was that it, the turkey, or was there a bit more?
No, nothing. Nothing.
So not a drink.
I did send some beer out to us in Thampton Brewery, because it was the Thampton Brewery Company sent out a strong beer. But the trouble is, What's the good of sending a bottle of drink out to us? It was frozen solid, wasn't it? No good at all. Didn't use it. Shame, really. We'd have loved to have it. Everything's got to be heated up, hasn't it?
Now, were you in this position all the time, or were you, you know, by the bridge, or you just stayed there for 6 months, did you?
Yeah.
That, so in position on duty, is
that? Yeah, on duty. Like I say, you never had much time because you was on guard, and then you work the next day, and on guard work, and that was it. You never knew.
And what are the work?
Monday and Fridays.
Because what would the work be?
Well, it was down in that demark zone, clearing,
carrying the wire.
Carrying
sorry,
everything.
That's
yeah.
What you, so you're doing that day after day after
yeah,
day.
Yeah, day after day. When you think you'd only you carry a bale of wire, so pretty heavy old stuff. Then there was that dannet wire they used to put in between, you know, the big coils and everything. And so, hallelujah, you were tight before you got back. Sometimes you see you were on guard on the main camp. They'd have you back up there to guard them. I don't know why we should guard them, but we did.
Now, what was your morale like, as they say? I mean, how did you feel in yourself? Were you reasonably happy, or were you desperately bored and fed up? How did you feel?
Christmas, we were unhappy. I guess, you know, thinking, wonder what they're all doing at home and things. Maybe the worst Christmas I ever had. But other than that, you had to just knuckle down and do it. There were no questions of saying, well, I don't feel like doing this or do that. It was your job. Survival, isn't it?
Now, what did the Korean, would he be a South Korean? That was in
South Korean, yeah.
Was he a servant? What was
he? He was
job?
Called the Rock Army. The Rock Army, they called him. And they was, he was just a normal bloke with us.
So he's like a
Kim
servant.
Kim somebody he was, his name. And he was attached to us. And he ate same as us and drank and things and... But if we was out, you see, and somebody who captured somebody, you wouldn't know what devil they were talking about, would you? So we were there to cover us.
So there's one per platoon?
Yeah, yeah.
And how'd you get, you sound like you got on well with him.
Yeah, he was all right. He used to go and get drunk, and he'd get down in their little old villages, because the villages out there were mud huts. They were like mud huts, and to keep themselves warm, they're clever, they had a big fire outside, and all the fire went underneath in this tube lot they used to do. And they were ever so warm, I reckon, in there. And they were all right. You didn't see many of them. There were no villages, like nothing up that end where we were, only a few peasants. And I don't know where they lived because they couldn't get off the roads or nothing, where it was all mined up where we were.
So you didn't see much of the Koreans at all?
No, not till we come back down into Seoul.
Now, anything else during this period? Any incidents that happened? I can tell, you know, from the nature of you, the posting and the role, that nothing happening would be what you'd expect.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you remember that you can tell us, or even just incidents amongst yourselves, the lads?
No, I don't think there were. Don't think there were. We was all usually so blinking tired.
Now, how tired were you? I mean, how much impacted fatigue have on you?
Well, if you work all day and then, you know, you have a rest and then the next night you're guarding, 8 all night, you get like 2 hours on, 4 hours off and things like that through the night, and you don't really get much sleep, do you? And you were tired.
Did it build up?
It built up, but I think you were so fit and young. And I think that's how it come across. If you'd have been older, I don't think you could have survived. I don't know how some of the older people in the war survived out there. I don't. When they were laying out in them trenches and things.
Now, when did the weather start to improve? Or did it? I mean, I presume it...
They tell you out there that you get no spring, no autumn. They could tell you within 3 weeks, you're losing the summer, which is very hot in the 90s. In the shade, that is. And in the winter, it could go down 30, 40, whatever.
So you'd arrived in the winter?
Just at the end of summer, really. It was just finishing. And then bang, and before we got back out again, it was We were just coming back out of it.
So your
winter date.
Your 6 months was the winter.
We had a winter. Yeah, we had a winter.
Now, anything before you come out then?
I don't think so, no.
You come out in, what, March?
No, they did, yeah.
And where did you go to? Anything before you leave? Who did you hand over to?
I don't think what happened were there was another truce come out, and because it was we were the first Commonwealth Division, wasn't it? What we were called in Korea, and they had to withdraw so many thousand troops from either side to pull back, and we were one of the lot got to pull back, so we never handed over to anything as I know of. We went out first. There was always another part of us behind us, like somewhere.
So where did you go back to?
Hong Kong.
Well, I mean,
from Korea back to Hong Kong.
I thought you said you went to Seoul.
Yeah, sorry. We went back to Seoul and had 3 weeks rest camp.
Was that your first time out, or had you had a rest or a holiday?
No. There wasn't such a thing.
So you weren't sent to Tokyo or anything?
No. In the war they did, didn't they? Yeah.
So you'd been just in the line. Had you had a rest camp facility at all?
No, not in Korea, no.
So you just were stuck on that
Six
bridge.
Months we were stuck in and out, and everything what had got to be done, we had to do.
Now, what about your rest period in Seoul? What was that like?
That was that wasn't too bad down there. It was still cool when we were down there. They put on all ice skating on the lake there and get us all skates and things like that, and you could play around a bit more, and it was just to rest you.
I mean, would you go drinking in the town?
Not much. No, wasn't a lot there. Never see.
Was there any concert parties organised for you? But you know, they have people come from so-called, well, stars.
Yeah. Don't think we had much of that either. There wasn't much going on. It was just a bit of activities and things planned so you didn't get fed up, you know, lazing in bed all the time and bits and pieces. It wasn't a tremendous amount.
So, next, that's the end for...
That's the end of Korea.
How did you feel to be leaving Korea? I mean,
lovely.
Tell me how you felt, a bit more.
Oh, we felt gorgeous when we were leaving. The band came down and... give us a good send off on the old ship.
Which band?
American band again. Played us away. I think they did it to everybody. I think the band just used to stay there, I think. And played us away.
And that was on leaving Busan?
Yep.
And do you know which ship you were on?
I don't know if we weren't on the Astorias. I think we were on the Astorias, a lovely boat. It was funny enough because that was the boat we sailed to Hong Kong. It went home, come back, and we got on it and went back when we finished. So, Went back to Hong Kong. Instead of being in the camp I were with the Welsh battalion, I was the other side in another camp. Up by Fan Ling again, same hole.
Not Norwegian Wood, no.
No, I can't remember the names of them. There was one either side of the
And this
valley.
Would be what, March?
Maybe April, March, April time, some of that.
And we're in, what, 1950, I'm losing touch with 1955.
Coming back in, yeah.
Now, what was happening in Hong Kong the second time, if you see what I mean? I don't know how long you were there for.
Well, when you think, you see, I'd virtually, what with coming back to Hong Kong, time I'd finished in Hong Kong again, I'd done nearly a year there. It wasn't far off, was it?
So you arrived in April. When did you leave? Leave Hong Kong.
I couldn't tell you that. It was only a few weeks. It took us another 5 weeks to get home. So you say that's another month and that. And we'd got 3 weeks, I think, when we got home before we
Right. So what were you doing in Fan Ling time, the Fan Ling area?
The same, virtually, training, and with Air Battalion, we done all these fancy marching and through Hong Kong, and I had guards on the old, house.
Now, what type of marches? What do you remember?
Oh, these are fancy.
What do you mean by fancy?
Well, really, everything, you know, with all the big bands and everything, and real big dudes they were, you know.
So through
military.
Through the actual town?
Yeah.
Or through the
No, country? Through down in Hong Kong itself, big marches. The whole battalion would march. Whole battalion, where you think like 1,000 men ate, and the Gurkhas. And but when you were there, you used to do it. Still done a lot of patrolling and guarding.